listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and this is the Save the Marriage podcast, the podcast designed to help you save your marriage no matter where you are. If you're at the beginning, we'll work with you through that, and we work all the way through. And when times are troublesome, we work on that. We also try to help you save the marriage before it gets into trouble. That's part of the process of understanding kind of the mindset of marriage. As I talk about becoming a we, and a lot of times if people just understand what they're headed for, it's a lot easier to deal with that. The other thing that's often helpful is understanding kind of the lies and the misunderstanding we tell ourselves. So let me be very clear today. When I'm talking about lies, I'm not saying that we're choosing to lie as much as we're telling ourselves a lie about what marriage is about. And these are lies that float around us all the time, misunderstandings that float around us all the time. So first, let me be clear. I'm not saying somebody's being dishonest, but they're lying to themselves anyway. A lot of times people have their reasons when they decide that a marriage is in trouble, when it's not working. And that's what I'm talking about. They have these reasons. The first thing I want you to recognize is when I say reasons, it's because we humans like to think that we are reasonable. We have the ability of making these reasons. Now, sometimes the reasons are exactly right. Why did I not go to school one day or to work one day? Because the reason was I was sick. I had the flu. Now, sometimes we justify it. Maybe there's something we don't want to do somewhere. You know, we don't want to do that project at work. And so we kind of fib. We decide we don't feel good. And then we reason it out. And that's the thing about humans. We do that with so many things. We decide on something and then we reason out why that's the case. This is certainly true if you look at marketing. Marketing has proven that we often make very emotional decisions, an emotive decision on why we're buying something, and then we come up with the reasons why to back it. Well, this happens to be the same case when people find their marriages in trouble. They find the reasons to justify the fact that the marriage is unsustainable. But here's the thing. Some of those same reasons people use all the time around marriages because of that misunderstanding. So these are really based in misunderstandings that we happen to have about marriage, and that's why they get us into trouble. So here are a few of those lies that we tell ourselves and that people often use to justify leaving a relationship. Here is the biggest one. It shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard. I've heard that so many times. People have stood in my office, sat in my office, talked to me on the phone, emailed me, and basically with kind of head in hand saying, you know, if this was right, if the marriage was okay, if this was a healthy marriage, it wouldn't be this hard. Or they say, marriage just shouldn't be this hard. They kind of generalize it to all of marriage. Marriage just should not be this hard. And it's an interesting thought to think the fact that marriage, if it's right, should be kind of like, you know, smooth sailing. We should never have an incident. By the way, if you're a sailor, you know that there's no such thing as smooth sailing, at least not for long. Some time ago, I remember I was out on the Chesapeake Bay and I was in a small little boat. It was a summer in my college years when I was working there. And so I sailed a good bit, being surrounded by water. And so there I was out on the Chesapeake Bay and I suddenly caught the breeze and it was smooth sailing. I was flying along, beautiful blue sky in front of me, the sun shining down. And then I started noticing that it was getting a little darker. And I looked back and I realized that the reason it had been smooth sailing one way was because a storm was blowing in from my back. It was not at all smooth sailing coming back. And so sometimes we have the same thing in life where it seems real easy. We're just floating along, just flying along. And suddenly we hit a rough spot. That doesn't mean that life has suddenly turned upside down, that there's something wrong now. It just means that we've now hit a rough spot. And it's the same thing that's true in our marriage. Now, here's the interesting, really interesting thing to me. I don't hear people say that in the rest of their life. The relationships are only right when there is no friction, according to this little belief system. And yet we don't apply that elsewhere. For instance, Let's say you're training for a marathon. I bring that up because I've done it. When I was training for a marathon, and first of all, I was not training for a road marathon. I was training for a trail marathon. 26.2 miles running on a trail. And the easiest way that I could practice that was to go to a nearby trail, and that trail happened to run about 5 miles. Now, when I was training at first for 5 miles, that was okay. You know, I just ran around that one time. But as I started adding miles on, it got to be a little more difficult. It got to be a bit more of a struggle. It also got to be a little more monotonous. You know, when I was running almost the full length of that race, I was running that same 5 mile path 5 times in a day, seeing the exact same thing. The monotony set in, and so did the tough times. So if you've ever trained for a marathon, you can verify that training for that marathon is not easy. But that doesn't mean it's wrong. You know, if you've decided to do that, you don't say, oh man, it shouldn't be this hard. You say, well, it's hard because I'm pushing my body to something it hasn't done before. Just like in a marriage, you're pushing the relationship to somewhere you haven't been before. Or how about this? What if you decided to get some degree? Maybe you wanted to get some job. Or maybe you want to be a doctor or an attorney or an accountant or an engineer or any other thing. And so you have to get a degree. You probably don't, in the midst of the studying, go, man, it shouldn't be this hard. Now, you may say, wow, this is more difficult than I thought it would be. Wow, this is more of a challenge than I thought it would be. But my guess is that most people, at least most people who successfully manage that, don't say, it just shouldn't be this hard. You know, it should be an easy process. I should be able to waltz through this, because that would assume that you already have the knowledge to make it through that process, which would mean that you didn't need to go through the training anyway. And most of us don't have that. So when we're doing that training, it's preparing for something else. You know, the last thing I want to have a surgeon say is, wow, it shouldn't be this hard. I'm working on you. I've never had this kind of problem before. I want them to have already been through that in their training. The problem is, marriage is kind of like, you know, real life training. We're going through it at the same time we're going through it. We're learning as we go. So why shouldn't it be a bit of a challenge since we haven't been there before? Or let's say that you have a job that is challenging and fulfilling. And by the way, almost always challenging and fulfilling go hand in hand. Now, I'm not talking about that easy job, you know, the one where you just go in and punch the clock and get paid. We all have had those somewhere in our history where we weren't in love with the job, but we got paid. And so we just kept doing it. But that wasn't really the fulfilling thing. When we find the fulfilling job, the challenging job, we probably don't step back and say, wow, it shouldn't be this hard. We just go, wow, this is one of those hard days, right? This is one of those struggle days that we go through. Anything, and this is a maxim of life, a law of living, anything that is worthwhile has a cost and a friction, has difficult times. Anything in life. If you're willing to bail out of something when it gets a little bit tough, what it really shows is there's not a lot of commitment to it, that you really weren't doing something you wanted to do. I've seen this over and over in my life as I've worked with people. You know, when I was teaching scuba diving classes, I would watch people come in, and you know, maybe there was somebody else who really wanted to learn to scuba dive, and they were just coming along. And when things got tough in the class, when maybe they had to do something that was a little more anxious for them, they quit coming. They just didn't come back. Same thing I've noticed as I've been doing the jiu-jitsu training. You know, people come in the class, and if it's not really important to them, if it's just something they were dabbling in, first time that they get pinned or get a little bit sore from it, they don't come back. I noticed the same thing from many other places when I was doing adventure racing. You know, if somebody really didn't want to finish that race, they would drop out early when it got tough. Same with the marathon. Same with many other areas in life. It really showed me that they really weren't committed to the process of completing it. So our first big lie that I wanted to talk about was, it shouldn't be this hard. If we're looking for the easy answer, it says something about our orientation to that. Anything that's worthwhile, anything in life that's worthwhile is going to have its difficult times. And our task is to overcome those difficult times, not get suckered into believing that it should be easy. When we get pulled into that belief system, sometimes it gives us the reason to step aside when we really don't have to. Okay, so the next big lie, I just don't feel it. Now, let me be clear, that's not really the lie. I don't feel it can be a true statement. I'm not feeling the love. I'm not feeling the passion. There's a corollary to that line, which is, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, which is basically saying that what I'm feeling is not right, right? I'm not feeling what I should be feeling. So that is a statement of truth, but it's related to a lie that's behind it. This is a statement of not feeling passion, basically. And the lie behind it is that the relationship will always feel passionate if it is right. If it is right is the key point here. Now, the cool thing about relationships is that they can have passion for life. And so let me be clear. I am not saying that a marriage that is passionless is healthy and okay. As much as I'm debating the fact of whether a marriage can sustain the feeling it had in the beginning over the long term, because there are some very clear, very demonstrable things that happen in a relationship, changes that happen in a relationship. Infatuation, the period that most people want to relate to when they think about having that feeling, is a temporary state of beginning of a relationship that can be used in the bonding process of the relationship, but is not sustainable, not long term. Probably a good thing, because not much would get done if we were all constantly in that level of infatuation that we feel. So the relationship lie is that the relationship will always be passionate if it is right. The fact is, and this is the fact, this is the truth, those feelings will become normal. Our body is always looking for a state of homeostasis to return to. Infatuation drives up our feelings of both of anxiety and attraction at the same time. I mean, that really is the bundle of that. You know, does this person love me enough? Does this person love me as much as I love them? Can I somehow win this person over? Those are the pieces that fuel the infatuation. And at some point, when you kind of commit to that, the fear pieces begin to fall away a little bit. And as they're on the decline, that anxiety piece that helps fuel it is left only with the attraction piece. And the attraction piece changes over from an adrenaline process. I've talked about this in other podcasts, but the adrenaline-based attraction begins to be an endorphin-based attraction on a biochemical level. Relationally, though, what happens is that we quit trying so hard to win the other person over, and in the process, we stop doing the actions that was leading us to feeling that way. Now, the simple answer of getting back to feeling that way is doing the loving things, of moving towards your spouse in connection and working on those pieces, but people don't realize that. And what's more, many times where this alert comes from is because there is some outside interaction that's leading to a feeling of infatuation. That can come from a couple of places. It might be that there is somebody that has caught the eyes of a spouse, the fantasies of a spouse, that has made them feel that infatuation again. And now they're comparing the infatuation of a beginning relationship or even the possibility of a relationship with what happens in a relationship that's established in long term. That comparison is an unfair comparison and begins to drain the relationship. We also have the cultural messages. If you watch a movie, you know, how do you know that something's right? Because of the passion that's in that. We can thank Hallmark and lots of other places for helping us have an idea that that passion should be there in our choices. That, you know, there's somehow that's how it should always be. When in reality, that's not the case. And the bigger thing is that disconnection leads us to feel less of that passion. And so when we've disconnected from a spouse, we begin to cut off that source of passion. And all that has to happen to bring it back is to work on the connection. That begins to fuel it again. And when we don't know that, we get stuck in kind of a deficit of the connection. It can feel worse. Okay, The next lie I wanted to talk about is the lie of we have nothing in common. I've heard this so many times where somebody will say, you know, we can't stay married because we have nothing in common. And so they say that, missing the fact that after years of marriage, I mean, the last time I heard this, the people who had been, he said, we have nothing in common, had been married for 30 years. How could they possibly have nothing in common? I looked at him and I said, you're deceiving yourself. And he said, no, we have nothing in common. I said, you're deceiving yourself. Let me tell you what you have in common. 30 years of history. You have kids together. You have property together. You have memories together. You have commitment together. You have family together. You have many things in common. He looked at me for a bit and he said, well, I don't know that that's really in common. And I said, tell me what you're really looking for in common. And he began to help me understand that what he was thinking is that couples need to be completely in sync. If he likes something, his wife should like it. If she likes something, he should like it. And if they don't, there's something fundamentally wrong with their relationship. So the underlying belief is that there has to be some shared interest as essential to keeping a marriage together versus a shared support of each other, shared common values of each other. So sometimes what couples discover is they can actually find common interest if they decide that that's something important to them. So he looked at me and he said, I just don't know how we could enjoy the same thing. And I said, of all the possibilities in the world, you don't think there's something the two of you could do together and enjoy? Maybe travel, maybe exercise, maybe trying new foods or trying new books, reading new books or talking about politics. Or of all the possibilities out there of interest, you don't think there might be one or two that you share in common? Now, he didn't want to admit to it, but he began to understand that there might be something that they could work towards. His problem was that he had come to believe that they had nothing in common when they had lots in common. And here's the bigger thing. Marriage is a belief sometimes that people have that you have to be always at the same spot. But people, as individuals, are never at the same spot with each other. But that doesn't deny the fact that they have commonalities. They have common history. They have all of these other pieces in common if they've made it any time into a marriage. The last lie I want to talk about is we just aren't compatible. Now, there's the lie that is underneath that. Here is the truth of that. There is one time when this belief, the statement is absolutely true, and that is when a couple does not share a core set of values. Let me say it more clearly, when their core values are in conflict with each other. I haven't seen it many times in my career. Over 30 years, only a handful of times could I finally reduce it to the fact that they could not put their two values together, the core values. One time was when a man had decided that he wanted to be married to many women, not just one woman. And his wife believed in monogamy. He believed in polygamy. She believed in monogamy. There is no way that they could reconcile their core values. The only way he could live out his core values was to have multiple wives. The only way she could live out her core value is to be married to one man who was only married to her. That was it. That's a core value problem. I had another incident where one person believed that you really should be following all the laws, and the other person felt like there were lots of ways of getting around the laws, and so was breaking the laws on a regular basis. She couldn't abide by that. He believed that the best way to get ahead was to break many criminal laws. She believed the best way to get through life was to follow the laws. They were incompatible in their core values. That rarely happens, though. Most people have a shared common value piece. That's what part of what gets them together. And so the compatibility myth is where we get into trouble with this. We just aren't compatible is the belief that somehow there's some magic notion of personalities that fit together. There's not. There's no proof of this in research. It's a somehow that there are interests that somehow cement us, that if we like the exact same things, that we somehow have a higher chance of making it. That's not true. There's no proof of that either. The fact is that what's bigger than compatibility is looking to see how we can bring our lives together. So a lot of times what I help couples look at is how they fit together. And so that there is a compatibility, but it's not the one that we've been sold. Sometimes I talk with people about how they're complementary with each other. Instead of compatible, it's a complementary nature of their relationship. That where one is weak, the other might be strong, and vice versa, and they can bring those strengths together. Or maybe they do see things just like on certain page, and so that gives them a solidified view of their outlook on the world. But that doesn't mean that everything has to be in compatibility where they are just the perfect match for each other. It's how they make the match work. In fact, I've come to believe that support and connection are the core of success. Can we support each other in our interests? Can we connect with each other about our interests? In fact, I believe that many times people find more interest in discovering the depth of their spouse's differences than to believe that they somehow have to see things just alike. Okay, so those are some of the lies that we tell, and I want you to know those lies because you may hear them. You don't have to tell your spouse, if they tell you that they're lying, because they truly believe that this is true. We have these underlying beliefs in our culture that make them lies. So remember this, it shouldn't be this hard. Anything worthwhile is going to have its difficult times. I don't feel it is really either lying in the belief that the passion should always be there, or in the place where you've become disconnected and you need to work on that. We have nothing in common. You absolutely have things in common if you've been together. Even if you just dated for a while, you have things in common. History, beliefs, property, all those other things come along. Family, kids, all of that comes along in a marriage. We just aren't compatible is buying into the belief that compatibility is about sameness. Compatibility is about complementarity, of being able to bring your best selves to this, of being able to support and connect with each other. If you find yourself falling for these lies, I hope you'll find some answer to that. One answer to that is to work on your marriage through my system, the Save the Marriage system. You can find more about that at savethemarriage.com. That's savethemarriage.com. Otherwise, I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.